All right, we're back on the post game.
Yeah.
These two, I don't know what I'm going to do with these.
I love
it's so fun. We're back at it, guys.
Okay. Grace always puts me in a good mood. I think I've said this before, probably on a post game.
It's so mutual, though.
Yeah. Like, I think it's because you, first of all, you're just an overall good person. But
you really are, Grace. You
honestly
are.
Anna and I could just sit back and compliment each other for probably an entire post game.
Please
but
don't.
But how many people, look. How many people work at a place where they like the people that they work with, right? That's a good, that's a good feeling.
It is true.
Yeah.
I feel incredibly, especially this summer has been like one of the like hardest, and I won't get into it, of my life. It's just been so trying and heavy, and I have had multiple like just breakdown moments, and I feel very fortunate in that I can come to work and I can talk to someone about it. I can take a friend aside when stuff is getting too much. I can be like, I'm struggling, and I feel comfortable because I am working with my friends and people that care about my well-being. And I know some of my other friends who are going through the same stuff that we're all going through will call me being like, I had to go take a bathroom break. I don't really have anyone to talk to. Can I talk to you? And I was like, yeah, I work at TYT. Let's talk. And I don't have that level of burden of having to keep it together until I get home. And that sucks. You know, it's so cool to be able to work and know that I could take someone and talk to them.
So let's now give Cenk a compliment. Because,
thanks God.
Because Cenk has sometimes, this is true, but it's not that bad. So Cenk has a bad.
This is an amazing precursor to what is allegedly a compliment.
That's right.
No, because Cenk, for the longest time, had a bad rap about like micromanaging. And like, you actually don't micromanage. You sometimes will ask us to do things that we know to do and we already do. Mm-hmm. And it's like, did he forget that we do this every day? Like, so every once in a while, he'll be like, Anna, I need you to research this part of the story. And I'm like, oh, okay, because I wouldn't have researched it if Cenk didn't ask me to, right? But anyway, but overall, like, you're a great, like, and I feel weird calling you a boss, but like, you're a good boss because you're not like on us all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you don't care when we take our lunch break or how long our lunch break is, like as long as we get our shit done. And that's also a pretty good feeling.
And then it puts the sort of onus on you of like, if you don't get your stuff done, or if you're unprofessional or you're not respectful,
right?
It's so out of norm. So you want to be in step with all your friends. No. Like, you don't want to be the outlier that causes Cenk to like be a boss and like be afraid of
him. No, but like, here's the thing. Since Cenk isn't a dick about things like that, it makes me work harder, right? Like, if you were an asshole and you're like, no, you gotta take a 20-minute lunch and that's it, right? Then I'd be like, I'm gonna take a longer
lunch. Yeah, you can be like, you can go fuck yourself.
Because I wouldn't feel loyal to you. I wouldn't care. You know what I mean? But now it's like, I eat lunch at my desk because I want to do a good job. And it's mostly, you know, because I want to look professional on camera, but I want to do good by you. So
thank you.
Anyway,
that's very,
it's
very
all
sweet.
Good. Such a good vibe today.
Yeah.
Okay. On a
Wednesday.
We all took
ecstasy before the post game. So.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, so last two things on this, then we'll do the movie thing that you wanted to say.
Okay.
If you asked me to guess who's having a rough summer at TYT, I would have put Grace at the very bottom of the list because she's like,
I know.
Every day, I'm like,
I know.
Rough, but like, she's like the happiest person alive, right?
Yeah.
So if this is your rough summer, can I be you?
Yeah.
Like, boy, can you imagine her in a good summer?
Yeah.
Right?
Euphoric, just like fucking glowing. You don't want that. It's better to just keep me down.
And second of all, on the micromanaging, boy, were people wrong, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, from time to time, I'll check in on something, but overall, just do your job and don't bother me, right?
Yeah.
Nobody got time to figure out when you're eating lunch. What do I give a shit when you're eating lunch? What do I care? I care about the show.
Yeah.
Are we doing it right? You know, whether it's whoever it is, it's an editor, it's a host, it's a publisher, whatever. Like, all we care about is the results, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I assume you're all adults. You appear to be adults, and you're acting like adults. So
most
God bless.
Of the time, most we have our time. Childish moments.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Right. Now the scene in An Inconvenient Sequel.
Okay. So even though the Trump administration has been in office for not that long, I mean, like a little over 6 months, right? over 6 months. I forgot what like actual like politicians from the past were like. And so when we went to go see An Inconvenient Sequel, which is a sequel to Inconvenient Truth, There were, you know, scenes where Al Gore does negotiating to try to get other countries to agree to the Paris Climate Agreement. And so, look, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but it's not. You should watch the whole film because there's a ton of really good stuff. Can I?
Yeah, it's just there's a spoiler. The planet is warming.
Yeah, yeah.
The temperatures, it turns out, get hotter.
So,
yes.
So there was an issue with leaders in India because, and they had a legitimate concern, right? They're talking to Gore and they're like, "Look, bro, you guys have been fucking the planet for 150 years, and for you to come to us and be like, you got to stop with this dirty coal, but like it's insulting, right? Mm-hmm. So we need support from the Western world, like we and not support in, you know, applauding us if we sign on to this, but financial support. And so there was an issue with, you know, how India needed to take out a loan in order to fund solar panel projects. And for some reason, the loans tied to the solar panel project were gonna have high interest rates, super high interest rates. And they're like, we can't afford it. This interest rate situation is out of control. So Gore calls up his homies in the US, Silicon Valley, and it's a solar power company, and just like asks them, like, can you hook up India with some solar panels? I don't even remember the exact like terms of the deals. But
can I just, I'll explain real quick. There's two different components to that. One was getting the technology for the solar panels, which India didn't have.
Right.
Solar City, it was a company, incredibly generous. They just gave it to them.
Yes.
Okay, and that's the heart of their business. So that was unbelievable. But they wanted to help make sure that we save the planet. Mm-hmm. So there's a corporation doing a wonderful thing and the right thing, and Gore helped them to get there. The second part was the loans.
Right.
And then he had to go call different world bodies to get the interest rates to be a little bit lower in their case.
Yeah, so look, the reason why I bring all that up is watching him call people and talk to them in a civilized way, in a smart way, in a rational way, in a strategic way was, it shouldn't be impressive, but it was impressive because I feel so far removed from that world now since we're dealing with someone like Trump. And so what was inspiring to me was the fact that Al Gore, of course, has been fighting to do something about climate change for decades now, and he just won't give up. And he brought up the word despair a lot. Okay, and it was weird because, and this is every time he did talk about that, I got emotional because I didn't go into that premiere thinking, oh, I'm gonna relate to him, right? I went into it thinking, oh, he's doing something good for the planet. It's interesting. I'm curious. Let's see what he has to say. And then all of a sudden, I found myself really relating to him because he's been fighting so aggressively for so long, and he's been defeated so many times. Right, where he makes a little bit of progress, and then the powers that be destroy everything, and he feels like he's got to start over again or fight even harder, and it's demoralizing and it's discouraging. And he talks about how many times he's felt despair, and then he quoted something from the Bible that made me tear up, which is weird because I'm not religious, but it was, you know, and God said, "I lay before you two choices: to live or to die." Right, something like that. Life and death, whatever, right? And so that was his way of saying, I choose life and I choose to fight, you know, and I choose to not let these feelings of despair like conquer me. Mm-hmm. And it was so fucking powerful, and it made me think, like, you know, I have those moments a lot. Lately, I have those moments a lot, and I'm just like, do I have it in me to keep fighting? Because I feel like we're not making a difference, we're not getting anywhere. And the fact that he keeps fighting makes me want to keep fighting. So that's what I loved about it.
Here's what I got out of that Gore is grace. Because he always appears to be really hopeful.
Yeah.
But he must be secretly having moments of despair like grace, but they're like super secret.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I will say, I haven't seen an Inconvenient Sequel. I'm excited for when it comes out. When is it in theaters?
Well, you're in LA, so it's July 28th. It's this Friday.
Oh, awesome.
But for the rest of you guys, if you're not in LA or New York, it's August 4th.
Okay. Well, I was traveling recently, and they had a really interesting piece on him in the United magazine. And I was reading it through, and he did bring up despair in that interview as well, because the interviewer basically asked him, this has been a really rough time for someone who's been fighting for so long, so much for climate change. It's been it must have been pretty demoralizing the past year, I would say, especially. And he just took it on. He's like, it's easy to want to like to give in to despair. But basically what you were saying, his resilience is amazing.
Yeah.
And it is really inspiring. And he was basically saying that every time, just like just when you think it gets it's as worse as it can be, there then does a change come. And it's sometimes you just have to ride the waves and hope that, you know, it's sort of like a pendulum, like we're swinging away now, but maybe we could have a really amazing swing on the other side of things. And to know that he's still fighting is very inspiring for our generation, who have someone to look for who can lead the way and make us feel like we can make a change and we should stay motivated. Because it's easy to sort of look at things and be like, I don't know if I... If where's the motivation? What's the point?
Yeah, what's the point?
What is the point?
Yeah.
And he takes that head on.
So it turns out Gore's also me. Okay, so he's all of us.
He's
so
all
Al Gore.
There's an inner Al Gore in every single one of you. Find your inner Al Gore.
Right. Well, no, you're about to see he's gonna get way less humble. Okay. So he's got the despair of Anna. He's got the,
he's got the despair of Anna.
He's got the resiliency
happiness
and hopefulness
of Grace.
And so here's where it gets really immodest. No, the thing I felt what he's felt in a several very important situations. He's right. He's been right from day one, and it is so frustrating that they will not listen to him, even though he's demonstrably correct. And he can show you the numbers. He can show you everything, and he's now taught like millions of people across the world that that it's absolutely happening. It is inarguable. And yet they're like, nope, I don't see it. So like when Ben and I were originally doing the Young Turks on the radio, we're like, no, the Iraq war's a terrible idea. And they're like, oh, you guys are crazy. The Iraq war's a great idea. Like, you forget now, because it's 2017 and the whole world agrees the Iraq war was a terrible idea. But at the time we were going, there were only a couple of us. Right? Everybody thought we were crazy. Not everybody. To be fair, there was protests across the world and across this country. I'm talking about the rest of the media, right? Mm-hmm. It was us and Amy Goodman. Everybody else was like, what a great idea. I mean, let's go, wave the flag, etc. And they looked at us like we had two heads. So it's hard to imagine that, because we were so fucking right that now everybody's like, no, of course, everybody, I was against the Iraq war. Everybody was against the Iraq war, right? Like, you can't, like the old saying is, you can't find anyone who voted for Nixon. He won in a landslide, but after he got, you know, run out of office, everybody's like, Nixon, I don't know anything about Nixon, right?
It's like, it's gonna happen with Trump, yeah.
That's definitely gonna happen with Trump. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you go down the list, like, no, Obama's a three-dimensional chess player, and you don't understand his political brilliance, and at the end, we will get all of our progressive dreams, because he'll checkmate them. And then at the end, nothing happened, and they're like, oh, fuck, right? And look, I mean, there's unfortunately way too many things. Look, when I started talking about money in politics, most of the progressive organizations were not for an amendment. They're like, oh, let's just, I mean, it's not. And now almost everybody agrees it's the number one issue. Back then, I would be like screaming. I'm like, no, guys, you can't fix the other issues until you fix this one first. Now it's kind of universally acknowledged. Back then it was like, come on, it's maybe issue number 7. Maybe we could move it up to number 6. And then amendment, they're like, amendment sounds crazy. Now everybody's like, yes, amendment. Now, by the way, we're knee deep in it. We say convention to get the amendment. And people are like, oh no, convention, that's crazy. No, Congress will magically pass it.
Right.
And then eventually they will turn around and go, well, of course you had to have a convention. Of course Congress wasn't gonna pass it. How else would you do it?
So frustrating.
So, right? When you guys feel overwhelmed by despair or frustration, when you feel like you are in the right, when you're like, this is so right, how can you not see this? How do you fight those feelings of, it's not worth it, I'm just gonna give up? Like, what is there a mantra that you tell yourself, something to psych yourself up? Like, no, I have to keep doing this, I have to keep fighting the good fight, even when it feels like you're not getting anywhere.
I smoke weed.
Yes,
it just like calms me down. Cause I get, my issue is I get worked up.
Yeah.
And I get angry. Like, when my feelings of despair are expressed through anger, and then that's not helpful, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, weed calms me down. But another thing that helps me is, you know, our audience, to be honest. You know, when you guys send me those messages of support, even if I don't respond to them, I see them, I read them, and they mean a lot to me. Like when young girls in high school tell me that they feel inspired by me, which by the way is not something I expected, not something that I worked toward. Like that wasn't my goal, to inspire young girls. But now young girls message me and they say that they feel motivated by me and inspired by me. And it's, I feel like if I were to give up, I would be letting them down. And so that keeps me going. So basically weed and high school girls.
Okay, yeah. So now you're gonna force me to say a couple of last things, and then we really gotta go, because the reason I'm actually frustrated and angry off air today is because there's just a ton of work and I'm buried. So it's a good day to ask me that question about
how you doing.
Right. But so how do I get out? So one, let me just double down on what Anna said. There's a line in the Quran that says, if you save one man, you've saved the whole world, right? And so if every once in a while when somebody comes out and says something to the effect of, and people have almost literally said this on many occasions, bless your hearts, you liberated me. Oh, that's, I could retire, right? Like I was gay and I didn't want to come out because I grew up evangelical. Like that's a common story, right? Mm-hmm. I was conservative, I was racist, I was this, I was that. And when someone says, I watch you guys and now I feel free, oh.
It's the best feeling
best
in the world.
Best feeling in the world. Fulfillment's a hell of a drug. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Also, weed is a hell of a drug. But I have a totally different reaction than Anna. I'm like, it magnifies my personality, and my normal personality is very optimistic and
animated
yeah. and like, get the most out of life. That's like my driving goal in life is mm-hmm. to soak in life, right? And so when I'm high, I'm like, yes, right? I'm like, LA, what a great city.
It is though.
Yes, is, though. Right? I'm like, I'll eat a cookie and I'm like, what a delicious cookie.
Oh my God.
Great day to be alive.
I think that this would be a good squad to smoke with. I feel like all of us, because I'm also like extremely, I'm just giggly and happy. I think that everyone is the greatest comic alive. So I feel like.
Of course you do. Because it magnifies your personality, yeah. right?
These forces combined, we'd have a hell of a good time. Next time we're feeling frustrated, party at Anna's.
Yeah, definitely. But like, what while you guys are partying, on? I'm going to be sitting on the couch with like a grin on my face, just like laid back. Because I don't get animated. I get super calm. And I'm like, I let everything slide.
Yeah, girl.
I just don't care about anything.
That's great. That sounds wonderful. I'll tell you one last thing that I was going to stop talking about weed stories, but one of the great feelings I get sometimes is when I'm high is I feel like a blanket come over me, but on a perfect fall day, like so
That's
like
amazing.
So you're perfectly warm. You see what I'm saying?
That's amazing.
And I feel so, I'm like, oh, it's such a perfect
so
blanket
toasty.
On such a perfect fall day. And I feel that perfect warmth and I go, yes!
That's amazing. Like you, it's amazing how different our experiences are. Because for me, and this does happen to people, I've looked into it, my body temperature drops. So I get a little chilly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
really
I'm like,
interesting.
It's cold.
A little chilly.
Yeah.
All right, so last thing is to finally come back around to the most core answer to your question. So how do I get back up and encouraged to keep fighting a good fight? Well, a couple of things. One, like, and this is again, this, sorry, it's super immodest, mm-hmm. but I'm keeping it real. I've been proven right on a lot of things, right? So after having had that experience, countless too much, but a lot of times, mm-hmm. I feel like, yeah, I'm not the crazy one. I didn't take the crazy pill. They took the crazy pill. And I'm going to be proven right again, okay? And the good news is we win. So I talk about it in a broad sense. You guys have heard me say this 1,000 times. I mean, civil rights, gay rights, women's rights. How could women get the right to vote when they don't have the right to vote? It's impossible. We won anyway. So that's the broad picture. But also in the smaller picture, we said Iraq was a terrible idea. We won. Now everybody accepts. Our victories are so thorough that it becomes obvious in hindsight. Like now, like, well, big genius figured out Iraq war wasn't a good idea, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So we won so fucking thoroughly on that it seems obvious in hindsight that we were right, right? And on the money in politics, everybody's like, well, which idiot would not recognize that's the core of the problem, that's the thing that corrupts everything else. Well, people didn't recognize it, right? Mm-hmm. So having won so thoroughly so many times, that gives me tremendous confidence that we're gonna win again. And at the end, we always win because we're right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, look, it's not to say, of course, that I'm right or we're right on every single issue. Of course not, right? But I'm talking about core things. Like, for example, the issue we did today on trans rights. Should they be allowed in the military? Gee, I wonder who's gonna win this battle of ideas. The people who think that everybody should be have equal rights in America, or the people who think, no, everybody should be equal except those folks, because we kind of don't like them. I mean, it's a no-brainer, of course we're gonna win, right? It's super frustrating on a day like today when we have a significant setback, but they're fucked in the long run. They have a terrible idea, which is, I don't know, I kind of don't like those people because of something that was written in a text maybe a couple of thousand years ago. It makes no logical sense, but I'm gonna stick with it, even though it's against the core idea of America. Good luck with that argument. You're not gonna win, we are.
Yeah.
All right, and one day we'll also win on legalizing weed, which by the way in California we have.
California, it's legal.
That's right, and it will be in your neck of the woods one day too. Because they're not right, they're wrong. The war on drugs didn't work. It
and
didn't
then we
work.
Can all party at Anna's.
All right, yeah. That's a good note to end on, party at Anna's. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Don't miss the Gore interview. All right, see you then.